Lost in mystery is why Eve took a bite from that prohibited tree in the Garden of Eden. Not lost in mystery is the fallout. As a race, we humans are deceived. We deceive ourselves, and we specialize in deceiving others. Facing the reality of our condition is the first step in understanding why seemingly good people do bad things. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. And today, Dr. Lutzer tells us why we are deceived and loving it, beginning with Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Her conclusion was that God's instructions were not as important as the perceptions and the desires of the immediate moment. And now, she didn't say to Adam, "Adam, I have decided to disobey God." She didn't say it that way. She no doubt says, "I've decided to eat of the fruit of this tree so that I might benefit and receive its good fruit." She redefined God's instructions. And we do that. Seldom do you say, "We plan to continue in immorality." No. Nobody says that unless they're repenting or thinking about repenting. Or being very honest, we redefine sin. Up the street from us, there is a pastor who decided to marry two homosexuals, and all of us know that that was in the news some time ago, actually, a couple of years ago. And no one says, what we are doing is we're taking an illicit relationship here and trying to cover it over with a vow. Nobody says that. All that you need to do is to read the literature and the newspaper reports, and it is all the loving thing to do. It is the right thing because this is love. It's taking what God has said, redefining it so that we can live with it, so that we can rationalize it, and so our desires can be lived out. My wife and I are acquainted with a family where a young woman, perhaps in her early 20s, has decided to move in with a married man. Maybe he's divorced by now, I'm not sure, but she decided to do that. She has several children, and so they're living together. She's been warned and admonished by her mother. She's been admonished by her other siblings. Her friends have called her on the phone and said, "You'd better get out of this relationship. It's sinful. It's destructive. It cannot end well. It will not end well in this life, and it most assuredly will not put you in good stead in eternity. God is at stake here." What do you think her response was? Did she say, "Oh, of course, come to think of it, this is evil. How could I be this foolish? I don't want to go on offending God. I know that for every mile I take out of God's will, I'm going to have a mile to come back. So the sooner I end this relationship, the better, so that I can live with myself and be in fellowship with God and receive His forgiveness and the acceptance of God's people. Of course, how could I be so stupid?" No, that's not what she's saying. She's saying, "Mother, you taught us to love one another. And I love this man. And I'm just fulfilling the will of God in showing love and living with someone whom we are really bonded with. This is the loving thing to do." Notice it. Perceptions take priority over God's command and God's word. But our perceptions are sometimes wrong. You know, left to ourselves, we most assuredly would think that the earth is stationary and the sun is revolving around the earth, when in point of fact, science now tells us it is the opposite way, and that the earth is the one that is tilting toward the sun, causing sunrises and sunsets. And there's no way we know what God programmed into disobedience. That's known only to Him. What the serpent was saying to Eve very clearly was, "Eve, feel, don't think. Don't use your intellect. reject God's instructions and do that which is most urgent and most immediate, but redefine it as something very good and helpful. That was the first mistake. She preferred God's perceptions to God's word. Secondly, she took the words of the serpent rather than the word of God. Now, this gets intriguing because it says in 1 Timothy that Adam was not deceived. He ate knowingly, but Eve was deceived. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2. It was a genuine deception. And that means that she thought, for whatever reason, that the words of the serpent were more authoritative than God's words. She thought that the serpent had insight into what this tree was all about and its consequences that were really even hidden from God. God says you shall die. The serpent says you shall not really die. God's motives are impure. He's concerned that if you eat, you're going to end up being like he is, and he doesn't want that. He's insecure. He doesn't want the competition. And that's really the reason why you're not supposed to participate. And she bought the lie. And so she accepted that. Now, what the serpent did tell her was partly true. You know, it says in verse 22 of this chapter that God himself says that man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Let me explain it this way. God knows all about evil, but he knows it like a surgeon might know something about a disease or about a physical condition. He knows it, but he's not participating in it. He's not a part of it. When Adam and Eve decided to sin, they then experienced evil in an experiential way, in a way that God has never experienced it, because God has never done evil. And immediately Adam and Eve began to do evil. It was a terrible knowledge, deadly knowledge. But what she decided to do was to go with what the serpent was telling her. The devil came, and we don't know what serpents looked like in those days, but he was intriguing, he was interesting, and he seemed to know things that God didn't. Could I say as a parenthesis, I find it very interesting that Eve was deceived by an animal over which she had total control. God had told Adam and Eve, I give you authority over all the animals. They will obey you. You tell them to come into the garden, they'll come into the garden. You tell them to leave the garden, they will leave the garden. You tell them to stay in a certain area, and they will do that. I will give you authority over all the animals, and that included authority over the serpents. And here Eve does not exercise that authority, but is beguiled by a serpent. And she preferred his wisdom to God's. There's a third mistake that she made, and that is she really chose the present over the future. She chose time rather than eternity. Now, it's hard for us to visualize, but put yourself in Eve's shoes, though I don't think at this point she was wearing them. But nonetheless, here you see this beautiful tree. And you think to yourself that you can predict the consequences. You are going to have knowledge that is going to make you like God. But of course, the future was hidden from her. She could have no possible idea at all what would really happen as a result of this. If Eve, looking down the corridors of time, had seen the suffering that took place in World War I, and all the wars that preceded World War I. If she somehow, with infinite knowledge, could have foreseen the Holocaust, if she could have foreseen the war in Kosovo and the destruction that sin has brought upon this earth, and then if she could have looked into an eternal hell where many of the world's population will be forever, most assuredly she'd have said, it's not worth it, it's not worth it, it's not worth it, I will not eat of the fruit of this tree. But all that she saw was that present moment. That's all that mattered. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Its fruit looked so appealing. And her desire said, Eve, go for it. And she did. And she tripped a series of dominoes. that suddenly landed the whole world into sin. Future generations would all be born sinful. We are a part of the dilemma. And on the waves and the repercussion of her disobedience continue to go all the way into eternity. But for her, it was just the present moment. That's all that mattered. Where is God in this? That's the way modern man is. I read a story about how some college students from a Christian school went to spring break to try to witness to kids on the beach. They met a group of guys with a couple of six-packs under their arm, and they were on their way to a wet T-shirt contest, and here they're trying to lead these people to Christ and say, you need Jesus. And the guys are saying, Jesus? Are you kidding? I mean, God, why bring God into this? We've got a good thing going here. The girls are there waiting. You're talking about God? All that matters is the present moment. We'll deal with God and we'll deal with eternity later. But eternity does come. What is it that I'm trying to say? The consequences, of course, of this disobedience is evident. We begin now to hide our sin, and that's next week's sermon. What we want to do is to cover ourselves because we become insecure. We're fearful that people will know who we really are. That's one consequence. The other consequence is that we begin to excuse our sin now. Now we're going to begin to think differently. When God says one thing and our desires want something else, we're going to say either that God doesn't mean it, or there is some exception for us, or we're going to say that we can live with the consequences. Like one man said, just tell me the worst thing that can happen if I divorce my wife and marry the woman I now love. What is the worst that can happen? And then I'll calculate the consequences and say, okay, those are manageable. I'll live with those consequences in order that my desires might be fulfilled. And that's the nature of human beings. And that's why the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? My friend, it most assuredly is true, isn't it, that we are desire-driven. No matter how much we pride ourselves in rationality, the fact is we want what we want and we do what we want. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm encouraging your heart even as I encourage my own heart today to be sure that we are not simply driven by that which we want, but we are willing to investigate and to find out what God wants. To find out who we are in His presence and then say, Lord, whatever it is that You want me to do, I shall do it. We live such busy lives, don't we? Could I encourage you to take out a moment today in God's presence and simply ask Him that question? And I believe that God will meet you and He will meet me, that we might be transformed for His glory.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of Deceived and Loving It. Monday, more on the consequences of our deception. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.